Hi, and welcome to That's My Purse Pod, the podcast all about King of the Hill. I'm Jason.
And I'm Jimmy.
Before we jump into our retrospective on season 14, we'll just update you on our weeks like we always have. So, Jimmy, how was your week?
Wow, this is like, I really feel like I need to like say everything because we won't be on for a little bit because this is the end of season 14. Hopefully season 15 comes out sooner. Or maybe we come do something special. I don't know. But I feel like there's a lot, you know, you don't want to just leave people hanging. So my week has been good. I know I've been talking about this concert I'm going to. It is finally coming up. I started trying to get my outfit together, trying to figure out what I'm going to wear and just all that fun jazz and getting parking and trying to figure out everything. Have you been to Austin when like the Moody theaters and stuff were around? Or are they fairly newer and you don't know what I'm talking about?
No, the Moody was here when I was living in Austin.
So we have three Moody venues. There's the Moody Theater, then there's the Moody Center, and then I believe it's called the Moody Amphitheater.
Okay.
So I'm a part of this group. I'm going to see the K-pop band 17. So I'm part of a Facebook group, and people have just started posting like, this is the correct Moody that you want to go to. Because you just type Moody into like maps, it might send you to the wrong venue. So people are like, make sure you go to this Moody venue. So that's kind of what I've been doing this week. My future plans, I plan on playing the new Pokemon game. I'm really excited for it. So hopefully I get to get my hands on that soon and start playing. I'm debating whether just to buy a Nintendo Switch 2 so I can play it on better graphics or just like live with my regular graphics.
Honestly, I have not been a Pokemon fan since Gen 1. So this is how long it was. I don't remember if we had red or blue. I think we had red, but I'm not 100% sure. But that was my generation of Pokemon. And since then, I have not kept up. And isn't it similar to Mario, where every Mario game is essentially the same game, just kind of slightly different mechanics, slightly different world, but it's basically platforming and jumping on Koopa shells and trying to take on Bowser? Isn't the same thing with like the Pokemon games, where it's essentially the same game? It's just capturing Pokemon, getting gym badges, and taking on the Elite Four, whatever their names are.
In a sense, yes. This is this new one is Legends AZ. So it's kind of not a main series game, but one of the side games. So it's the Pokemon are free roaming. So you run up and then you like battle like outside turn base in a sense. Okay. So you can like go all around the you can go 360 around the Pokemon you're fighting, or you can fight multiple Pokemon at a time. And then I believe you can also battle multiple people at a time. Like, just a group can come together and start battling each other. So it's interesting. Well, I guess he hasn't played since Gen 1, but they added some new Mega Pokemon, which I'm slightly excited about. Mega has never been my favorite mechanic in the game. But I've been a Pokemon fan since you've been playing, since Red and Blue, so I just haven't had the time to play this one yet. It just recently came out though. So I'll be playing it. So that's my future plans. Play Pokemon. And then I don't know, figure out something to do. Wait patiently for season 15 to come out. But what about you? What has your week been like?
So I've been playing Ghost of Yote, which is amazing. They have taken everything that was great about Ghost of Tsushima and added to it. So I'm enjoying that. Funny you mentioned Pokemon. I have in my queue, though I'm probably not going to get to it for a while, the new Digimon game, because everybody says it's really good. I haven't really played a Digimon game since, gosh, probably the same time I played a Pokemon game, because I think it was Digimon Adventure One or something like that, and then Digimon, or was it Digimon World, I think is what it was called, the game. It was a very rudimentary game, Digimon World, and then there was Digimon World 2. I think I played that one and then kind of fell off of it after that. But everybody's saying this one's good, so I figured, you know what, why not? Let's try something new. So I bought it, I downloaded it, but I'm not going to play it until I finish. Well, first I'm going to finish Ghost of Yote, and then after that, I'm going to be playing... By my guess, the Tales of Xillia remake will come out by the time I finish Ghost of Yote. And so then I'm going to want to play that game. Then when I'm done with that game, I guess I'll go to that one, the Digimon one. But yeah, so I've been playing a lot of Ghost of Yote. This past weekend, did kind of my normal thing, did some volunteer work. Girlfriend and I went out to Sausalito, first time I've ever done that, quite frankly, and the almost decade that I've lived in the Bay Area. So that was fun. That was nice. Dinner on the bay, looking over the water. Got to take the ferry over. Got a nice picture of the sunset over Golden Gate Bridge. So yeah, it was an overall good weekend. And then I just pretty much chilled yesterday. I did nothing of interest on Sunday.
Man, I've heard good things about that Digimon game, though. I saw this video where this guy's like trying to explain Digimon to a friend. And he says like, there's this plant Digimon, and then that transforms into this samurai chicken Digimon. That transforms into this Gundam chicken Digimon. And after seeing that, I was like, okay, I might need to play this game.
Yeah, Digimon. Yes, now we're becoming a Digimon podcast. In my mind, Digimon was always better than Pokemon, at least from a story perspective. In terms of playability as a game, that's debatable. I guess it's a preferences thing. But if you look at the, and I'm going to talk purely about the animated series of both. I think the Digimon animated series was superior to the Pokemon animated series because the story, like there's actually a story to Digimon. Whereas Pokemon, I guess you could argue that there's a story, but it's pretty much just like, hey, I'm going to catch all the Pokemon.
I will say, yeah, I agree that the story for Digimon is way better than Pokemon anime-wise. Gameplay-wise, though, I feel like Pokemon has a more collectory aspect to it. It balances someone who likes to, if you like to collect, then you can just collect Pokemon. And if you like to battle, there's the battle aspect. Where I feel like Digimon is like very battle-heavy.
Yeah, I could see that. I mean, there's the earlier Digimon games. And like I said, I have not played a Digimon game in 25-plus years. The early Digimon games were almost like Tamagotchis, which is actually what Digimon originally was supposed to be when they were doing like the merchandising and the planning and whatnot, because it was one of those things where they were like, okay, we're going to create these digital toys. We're going to create basically this whole ecosystem, the whole thing that they did with Pokemon, where they're like, okay, we want kids to catch them all, so we're going to create this game, but we're also going to create this card game, and then we're going to create this anime, and all of this stuff's going to get kids like just sucked into the world of Pokemon. Digimon tried to do the same thing, but one of the big things they wanted to do was have these like digital pets, which kind of, you know, very 90s. And yeah, so the game was very much like that. Like you would have battles with your Digimon, but you didn't actually fight the Digimon. So like the Digimon would get in a fight and you would essentially cheer it on, but you couldn't tell it to like do this attack, do that attack. You just kind of cheered it on and it kind of auto did whatever. But yeah, you were supposed to like, oh, you're supposed to feed it, you're supposed to take it to the bathroom, stuff like that. And depending on how well you treated it, it digivolved either into like a really good Digimon or a really bad Digimon.
There is a new Digimon anime out that I need to check out. I think it's, what is it called? Digimon Beat Break or something like that?
Maybe. But, I know there's a new one cut that came out. I just don't remember what it was called. I honestly have not been keeping up.
Yeah, it's called Digimon Beat Break. It looks really good. I mean, like, as a kid, I just remember going to friends' houses and watching the first season of Digimon on DVD. And be like, whoa, this is a great story. Because whenever it was on TV, it was like, I'm picking Pokemon. But when you really sit down and watch Digimon, you're like, oh, wow, there's an arc. there's risk involved. There's people who are fighting and like character development. Oh, it's so good. I love, man, now I really want to watch Digimon Adventures again. I wonder where I can find it.
I think, so there's the OG one and then there's the 2020 remake. So you have to make sure you're looking for the right one. I think you can see it on Hulu, the original one, but I could be wrong.
Oh yeah, it says it's on Hulu. Man, oh dude, I miss these guys. Izzy and Gabumon was my favorite. Oh man, do we need to do Digimon? Are we becoming Digimon podcasts?
We could discuss doing it because we won't be doing King of the Hill for a while until.
Yeah, until let us know if you'll follow us to do. I do an anime show, but I would love to just do every Digimon. There's so many seasons and variations of it. If you guys want to see us. Yeah, if you're seeing us right now, and you want to hear us do Digimon, let us know. I'm sure Jason would love to do it with me. I want to be a part of it. Jason, invite me. Let's do it together. I don't know why I assumed. I'm crazy, guys. Whatever.
That would be fun. I would be down for it. Why not? Like, I grew up on the show, and it would give me an amazing excuse to just, like, rewatch it and then say, oh, I'm watching it for the podcast.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't really need an excuse to watch it, but it would give me one.
Oh, my gosh. Now I'm thinking, has your girlfriend watched Digimon? I don't know if you guys have talked about that.
No, I'll ask her later. But no, I don't think so. We like some of the same stuff, but then we also like very different stuff. Like, she's a big sports fan, and I am not, and stuff like that. But I don't know that she's really into anime, but she would probably be supportive of watching it. I've shown her King of the Hill, though, and she liked the episodes that I showed her.
I think that's the best part about dating someone who's kind of not in the same world as you are, because then you get to share these things and see, like, someone's first time watching the thing you love, good or bad. It's just kind of interesting. Like, I need to meet someone who hasn't seen Avengers Endgame so I can experience that again with someone.
Well, maybe when we come to Austin, we can watch it because she's never seen a Marvel movie.
Oh, man. Do you think, okay, this is the last thing and then we can move on to that. Do you think you need to see the other Marvel, like at least Infinity War before Endgame, or can you just like...
I think you should see every Marvel movie up to that one in order for it to make sense. Because otherwise, you're going to just be explaining, okay, so that's this character. Oh, and this is why he's trying. Like, imagine if you went into Infinity War and you saw absolutely no Marvel film before that. You would not know what was going on. Like, okay, so who is that? Oh, that's Iron Man. You see, he was actually captured, but then he created a suit. And then, oh, that's Pepper. That's his assistant. But then they kind of got into a relationship in Iron Man 2. And, oh, you know, that's Hulk. And, oh, that's Wong. You know, he's a magician and those sling ring. You know, it's you would have to explain so much.
That's a lot, though. That's a big ask for someone. It's a good ask, though. There's not that many flops in the first three phases of Marvel.
Yeah.
So it's not that bad, but that's a lot. Okay. So you're saying she needs to watch every Marvel movie. And then watch Endgame. Okay.
Somebody actually did the math on that. And this will be the last thing I say before we go into our retrospective. somebody actually did the math on it. I can't remember what it is, but I think it's like if you watched all of Phase 1, 2, and 3, so the Infinity Saga from start to finish and with no breaks, it would take like 27 hours or 30 hours, something crazy like that.
And this is... is it counting Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.?
Or no, just not movies? Counting Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., just the movies.
Okay. Because I don't know, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. kind of fits in. The first season, I think. But other than that, yeah. Oh, wow. There's no breaks. That's the tough part. No breaks. I mean, is this counting credits?
I guess it counts the credits. I guess you could skip. No, I don't think it counts the credits because you can just skip those.
Like, oh, because I was like, maybe you can go to the restroom and take breaks when the credits are going. But then you got to come back because that's peak Marvel end credit time that we're living in, like Phase 1, 2, and 3. You need the end credits.
Fair enough. Well, let's jump into our retrospective. Yeah, it's you know, we're not going to go over any specific episodes because we already did that for 10 of them. So we're not going to sit here and just like go through, you know, nitpick the episodes or kind of do a, you know, a quick run through. We're just going to kind of give our top thoughts about the past episodes, kind of highlights, let's call them lowlights, what we thought was great, and maybe what we hope to see in the future. And then we're also going to try to compare it to the past King of the Hill episodes. Granted, you know, a 15-year time gap, things have changed, so it's really hard to compare the two, so to speak. But, you know, we'll do what we can. Overall, I thought the season was great, and I was legitimately worried when they originally announced it, because reboots, or I guess not a reboot, but a revival, we've seen several of those so far, or sometimes people call it requel. It's not quite a sequel, but it's not quite a reboot. I was legitimately concerned because a lot of those revivals that have happened just weren't good, or they were mediocre, or maybe they were good, but they were less than the original run. And I was worried that, you know, the writers just kind of lost their edge since they've been working on other projects over the past 15 years and all of that. So I was legitimately concerned. Again, I've said that so many times, but yeah, I was concerned that it might not be good, that we would watch it and it would just spoil King of the Hill for us for forever, because, you know, it's like, oh, the season 13 ended on such a high note. The series ended on such a high note. And it's, the show is so fondly remembered by so many people. But then it came out and it was excellent. And actually, it is like the highest viewed adult animated show on Disney Hulu in like 5 years. So that's something, because, you know, Disney, Hulu, I mean, Disney owns a lot of stuff, Fox Animation, Hulu, et cetera, et cetera. This is like the highest premiere in 5 years. So that shows you something. I was blown away by it.
I was nervous when, like you said, it was a very mixed bag of feelings. I was nervous that the season was not going to be good, or was it not going to have the heart what King of the Hill is. I think King of the Hill is very special to both of us. It's a very good source of joy for both of us. And the way King of the Hill ended was just, in my opinion, so perfect. It's one of the best series finales that I had. I would say it is the best series. It wraps up everything so perfectly. It doesn't leave you really wanting anything more. It's heartfelt. It ends the story where it needs to be ended. It's just such a great ending to be like, wait, we got more to tell. It really made me nervous. And then I watched the first episode and then I was super nervous, because I feel like you all know that our thoughts on that first episode. But now that we've finished everything, now that I've seen all 10 episodes, I'm really happy about this. I think you guys have been listening to us these past 10 episodes, and you know that really for me, there was only two misses in it and 8 episodes that I really, really enjoyed. And I wouldn't even say that the one that I say is a miss, which is episode 10 for me, is really a miss, because it didn't feel right for where it landed. I think we talked about this last week. But yeah, just, it felt like they captured the soul of King of the Hill really well, in my opinion. I think this is a great, the time skip was something I was worried about, but everything I was nervous about was put at ease during episode 2. Once I watched episode 2, all of my fears went away and I was like, oh, we're coming back. It's like meeting old friends after a while. So really enjoyed this season.
Agreed. And yeah, the time skip was also something that made me nervous, because we had 13 years where it was pretty much like in the same timeline, or what they call like a floating timeline, where despite the fact that decades have changed and whatnot, Bobby's always 13 years old, you know, despite the fact that they might have 3 or 4 birthday episodes, Bobby never ages, you know, 4 Christmas episodes, nobody ever ages. So, you know, it's the concept of the floating timeline. That way, it could always be current without having to change the characters. And that's the beauty of cartoons. Cartoons don't age like humans do. So you don't have to age up the characters every season. So, you know, we got used to having 13-year-old Bobby and all of that for 13 years. And that was King of the Hill to all of us. All of a sudden, it's like, oh, there's going to be an 8-year time skip and Bobby's going to be a young adult and the Hills are going to be older and all that. It made me kind of nervous. Not necessarily in a bad way, but it was like, this could go so wrong or so good easily. I am glad that they chose 8 years and not 15 years, because it makes sense that they did a time skip because the show has been off the air for 15 years. A lot has happened over the past 15 years, so maybe this is a way that they can work with this floating timeline and speed things up and bring it up to today. But I, you know, they also could have just as easily had said, oh, it's a 15-year time skip, because it was really 15 years since it was on air. But then that would have made Bobby, what, 28? So, yeah, still young adult, theoretically, but I do like him being 21 because he is kind of in that weird, awkward phase where you're not quite an adult, not quite a kid. Like, from a legal perspective, you're an adult. If you're over 18, you're an adult. But he's still very young and still has a lot to learn about life. So we get to see a new form of Bobby, but there's also a lot of stuff that's familiar about him.
Yeah, it doesn't feel like Bobby has, Bobby has grown, but it feels natural. Nothing felt like was out of character. Bobby becoming a chef felt good to me, even though I was leaning more towards the way of, I was hoping he was becoming a stand-up comic or something along the lines of an entertainer. But this felt really nice. It felt natural. Nothing felt forced to me. Him and Connie not being together felt also natural. Like, it just felt like two people who grown apart. So that, I love Joseph being there. It just was great. Yeah, Bobby felt right. It felt like this was the direction he was going into. They didn't have to change him or make him more edgy or make him like an annoying adult, or you know what I mean? Like, they didn't feel like they had to change the core of Bobby. I think Bobby is the heart of this season.
I agree. I think Bobby was one of the big parts of the season, or one of the big parts that made the season great. Them aging him up also allowed them to play with him in a lot of ways. So, for example, there's the episode of Beer Story. Hank would have never let Bobby drink a beer just because of who Hank is. Granted, we've had episodes where Bobby got drunk before, but Hank punished him. But ultimately, by Bobby being 21, it allows him and Hank to bond over beer. You know, the whole propane thing in the Binchotan episode, you know, where it's like, oh, you're using that charcoal and whatnot. That was able to create a conflict. It was a new conflict because it's a situation Bobby probably wouldn't have found himself in if he were 13 years old still. But it's also a familiar conflict because Hank is very strongly opinionated about propane. Him getting a car and his mom offering to help him. You know, there's just all these things that are kind of connecting the two, but things that they probably wouldn't have been able to explore had Bobby been 13 years old still. And we had 13 years for them to explore a lot of that stuff with Bobby, and it's nice that they're trying to explore something new with Bobby.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, like you were saying, being 21 is that perfect age for someone who's growing up. I think that's around the time you start seeing your family, your parents as not mom and dad, like these faraway adults, but they start becoming more human in a sense, more part of just people you're meeting. You're interacting with more adults.
Yeah.
And like, your parents aren't just these parents. They're people who have hobbies, who have passions, who have different things that they like to do. Hobbies, I guess I said hobbies twice. But they're not just strangers to you. They're people that you can interact with now and have things you can do together. So
yeah, and you're almost on equal ground, so to speak, when you're an adult and you have your parents versus when you're a kid and your parents, because your parents are, you know, raising you when you were a kid. But when you're an adult and you're able to kind of take care of yourself and pay your own bills and stuff, I mean, there's still kind of that parent-child thing going on between the two of you where, you know, maybe a little bit of a power struggle. But overall, you kind of see each other on equal grounds and see each other as adults.
Yeah. And it was like, gosh, what episode was it? episode 9, where it's this cool like flip where now Bobby has to be there for his mom, where he has to be there mm-hmm. for Peggy, because she needs his support when she has to go into the MRI machine. I love the dynamic. They nailed it perfectly with the time jump on how much we're going to age these kids up.
Mm-hmm. Also, I would say Joseph is probably one of the least contributing members of this new cast. Like, he's kind of like an exposition person, so to speak. He's the comedic relief in a lot of scenes, but then he is also there for exposition. Like, oh, I took a picture of Chain kissing another girl, or, oh, you know, I'm going to go and bribe this person. He's just there as kind of a sidekick. He doesn't, I hope in season 15, they explore him as a character a little bit more. But really, now that I'm sitting here thinking about it, even in the original 13 seasons, he was always kind of a sidekick character. There was very few Joseph-centric episodes.
I will say, though, I did like the little we did get of Joseph. I think it's, what is it, the beer episode? Mm-hmm. Episode 2. I do enjoy the scene with Joseph and Dale spying on the judge and they're in the trash cans. And it just took that little bit, that little scene with them interacting with each other, them smoking together, going back and forth about all the information they found out on the judge. And to me, it just was like, oh, Dale did a great job raising Joseph. Like, well, I mean, like, in Dale's sense, he did a great job raising Joseph, because it seems like they have such a strong bond, like father-son bond together.
They do have a good bond. You know, Joseph is gainfully employed. And he, you know, he has an apartment that he's paying for and he's taking care of himself. So, I mean, ultimately, you know, Dale did raise a good son.
And I think it just took just that one scene for me to be like, okay, I already understand the relationship already between Dale and Joseph. I can fill in the gaps of how they grew up and how he was raised. And just, and you kind of get glimpses of that from the older season. So I would definitely love to see more Joseph. I think Joseph is really funny. Do I think Joseph could carry a whole B-side story on his own? I don't think so. But I do want to see more adventures with Joseph and Bobby together.
Right. I agree. I would like to see maybe an episode or two that are more focused on them working together and being kind of equals versus him being a sidekick. The one thing that I'll kind of compare it to that comes to mind is the movie Deadpool and Wolverine, tying it back to our Marvel discussion earlier. So Sean Levy, when he released the movie, he basically said, don't think of it as Deadpool 3. Like, this is a completely separate movie, because while, you know, Deadpool is kind of the first title character, Deadpool and Wolverine are supposed to be seen as pretty much equals to the plot and to the story for the most part. And that's pretty much true, because they're both kind of the chosen one in their own respective ways. You know, Wade being the so-called Marvel Jesus, as he calls himself, and then them needing an anchor being Wolverine to save the respective multiverse or their universe. So, yeah, I mean, there's that aspect. So the same thing, like, they could have an episode where Bobby and Joseph are kind of on the same plane. It's not like Bobby leading and the story's really about Bobby and Joseph is just kind of there as a sidekick or a supporting character. They should be equal.
Us talking about Joseph and like Bobby and Joseph having maybe their own side journey, it really does make me wish that maybe they held off on Connie and Bobby getting together at the end of the season, and then we could have had some fun trio stories with the three of them doing stuff and not necessarily having that relationship aspect to it. Because I would love to see just like Bobby and Connie and Joseph reuniting, getting to know each other again, and just as a friend group doing things together in the city.
Right. I did like Connie coming back. I thought she was a good character, but at the same time, I think she was similar to Joseph. Maybe not, for lack of a better term, as bad as Joseph, but she also was kind of just, she was just like a plot device for Bobby to move Bobby's story forward. I do think she had a bit more agency than Joseph did, whereas Joseph was purely a sidekick, comic relief type character, and Connie did have a lot of her own character development in the series or in this season. I did like that part. You know, I did like her exploring her sexuality and stuff like that. I can't remember which reviewer I was watching, but somebody was reviewing the episodes and brought up a good point. that, you know, maybe she saw her parents' sham marriage over the past few years and saw it falling apart and came to this conclusion that marriage and lifelong relationships and long-term relationships and stuff like that just were all a lie and weren't for her. So that's kind of why she went with the ethical non-monogamy, where she can still have some level of intimacy with somebody, but also have the ability to run away, like not be too come too attached or have that excuse of being detached.
Huh, that makes a lot of sense. I can see that her real, because it wasn't a secret that her parents were separated, for her at least. So that does make sense of why she would want to enter that. But then on a flip side, like, we don't even know too much about Connie. I don't know what she's been up to these past few years. My main problem with Connie, I love Connie. I thought she was a lot of fun. The little bit we got of her this season. And this is my other worry of Bobby and Connie trying to rekindle this dating life or going back to this relationship that they had. It's just, I would love to see Connie not as a love interest for a while. And just let me see Connie as a person and who Connie is now, instead of, because she's been relegated to girlfriend this whole season. Not Bobby's girlfriend. She's been Chang's girlfriend. She's never just been like, this is who Connie is, and these are Connie's hobbies, or this is what Connie's interested in now. If you ask me, I don't know what does she like to do, because she's just been relegated to girlfriend this past season. And it did take a while for me trying to remember Connie back in the old seasons. It's like, it did take a while for her to pick up speed, but then we did get episodes where it was centric of like, this is Connie's passion, or this is kind of what Connie's into, or this is like, Connie's been pushed to this kind of, the stress has gotten to Connie this much, and like, now she's rebelling. I want more of Connie, and I don't want it just to be like, she's just the girlfriend.
I can agree with you on that. And she pretty much, now granted, in the original season, a lot of it was that she was a love interest, but she also had a lot of agency herself as a character. Episodes such as, you know, the blue grass is always greener and whatnot, where she was a character and she had her own mind and her own agency. Yes, you are right. For the most part in this season, she was always just a love interest to somebody. She was dating Chang. And then as soon as that was over, they don't even have an episode where she is just a person on her own. She breaks up, and the next time we see her, she's on a date with Bobby. It would be interesting to see a Connie-centric episode where she isn't just Bobby's love interest. That being said, I did really like seeing Connie again. I really did like her. I mean, I've always liked Connie as a character. I think it was always good to have a girl in the show that Bobby can, like, not necessarily for Bobby's character development. Like, obviously, there is part of that. But also, having her own agency was great, too. Like, I know I use the term a lot, agency, but like, her just being her own character, her having her own thoughts, her own storyline, her own development is a good thing too. And I liked a lot of the episodes that were Connie-centric, because that, you know, she it did show that she is a fully fleshed out character, not just somebody there for Bobby to fall in love with. I felt like they took a lot of that away in this season with Connie.
And that's why I was so excited for Willow when we met Willow, because I feel like everyone thought I loved Willow when we first met Willow. I did not love Willow when we met Willow again, which I feel like is such a mistake to like kill this character off. They didn't kill her off. I mean, you guys have watched the show. They didn't kill her off, but like basically they like character assassinated this girl. Mm-hmm. And it would have been so nice to like have her be a part of the group. If they would have kept Willow from the episode we met her at, that first episode where she's stealing the like fat from the restaurant to make candles, or no, she uses it to make like lip balm or lipsticks or something. Yeah. Like that. Some kind of makeup. It would have been great to see that Willow, not the one that's like controlling over Bobby or overstepping her boundaries with the Hills, but to kind of see a very supportive person who wants to get to know someone. It just, that episode where they met was very sweet. I wish we could have kept that Willow, and then her and Bobby explored their relationship together. That frees Connie up to just be Connie, a friend in that group. And then maybe in season two, we can get rid of Willow. But I really loved Willow that first episode. It's just that fantasy camp episode. It's just like, I don't know for you. Did it feel just like a total 180 on who Willow was that episode, like from when we meet her to this one?
I think the only thing that I would consider 180 from her was the fact that she was really good at football, because you would expect her not to be, but I think that was the point. But I feel like everything she did was actually kind of in character. At least I personally do, because like the big thing about her, about Willow, is that she's non-conventional, I guess, is what it boils down to. Like, she's a very non-conventional person. She, you know, she's vegan. She's also technically a freegan because she steals the fat from restaurants and whatnot. And, you know, she makes all these herbal, natural, whatever term you want to use, soaps and that and gels and stuff that she sells on an Etsy shop. So the argument, I think, is that she's supposed to be very unconventional. And she was very unconventional in that episode as well. Like, oh, I'm going to take a dump on Jerry Jones's desk, or, oh, I'm going to walk into the locker room and think it's no big deal. So, yeah.
I think those I can, like, understand. I can understand she was so angry at Jerry Jones for what he did to her father, but it wasn't really his fault. I think her father was already having problems before that. But I just think, like, the way she treated Bobby was kind of just off-putting to me. I don't know. It just felt like just the way she treated people. I mean, like, yeah, you can be free-spirited and whatnot, but it just seemed like she came off rude a lot. It was rude, and then, like, she had these quirky moments. And I feel like we are supposed to excuse the rudeness as, like, part of her quirkiness. Like, oh, that's just who she is, but it's very off-putting. I mean, even for me, I feel like it would be off-putting. And I'm not as, I don't want to say prudish as the Hills, but, I just feel like some of her decisions were just, it didn't feel like as caring as she was that first episode we met her.
I mean, I guess that's a fair point. I mean, you're not wrong. Like, that's a fair point. But I don't know. I thought she was an interesting character. I didn't really care for her one way or another. And I'm kind of glad that the relationship ended. Maybe I would have liked for maybe there to be another episode or two with her in before they got rid of it. But also, it was a short season. So I guess I see why they got rid of her. But if it was a 20-episode season, you know, give her maybe two more episodes, make things interesting, and then have them break up.
I just wish there was another person in the group. I guess at the end of the, it boils down to, I don't want Bobby and Connie to be together right now. I want them to be together eventually. I just think I want them to relearn each other outside of trying to be in a relationship. You know, start the friendship again, and then we'll see where this goes. And I really think if Willow was dating Bobby, it would take pressure off of Connie. Even though Connie did seem jealous that episode. I would love to see Connie just be Connie, like we were talking about. I really felt like Willow was a lot of fun, but I wouldn't mind if she left in season two. I guess I was more attached to Willow than you were after that one episode. And then I saw her and I was like, how dare Willow feed Hank, that tofu burger or tofu meat?
Oh, no, it's the vegan lasagna.
Yeah, the vegan lasagna. I was like, how dare she? That is our Hank Hill. You cannot feed him like a child. As soon as that happened, I knew it was downhill for Willow. And then she showed up at that game.
Fair enough. But I also think she made her an interesting character, so to speak. Speaking about like new groups or whatnot, my MVP for new characters, and granted, we didn't get a ton of them this season, but my favorite new character, hands down, is Emilio.
Oh, Emilio. I thought you were going to say someone else.
Who did you think I was going to say?
I don't know. I thought you were going to say, because, okay, we don't talk about a lot of the podcast, but you always bring up the Black Barbershop graying to me.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, bring that up. I was like, is Jason going to like be like MVP? The Black Barbershop gang. I do love them. No. I do want more of them. I might be a good spinoff show, actually.
Yeah. No, I mean, they were fun people, but they were also only in one episode. Maybe we'll get more of them in season 15. But we got Emilio in multiple episodes. So he's like a legitimate new cast member.
Oh, Emilio is so fun. I love his system of the calendar and not having it organized well. Poor Bobby. And it's just, he's a great sidekick to Bobby for the restaurant.
Agreed. He was definitely my favorite character to be added to this new season. I know we will get more of him unless he quits or the restaurant goes under, which I don't think is going to happen anytime soon in the episode or in the series. I hope not anyway, because I do like seeing Bobby as a restaurateur. But, you know, he was definitely my favorite just because he is kind of like Bobby's wingman in a lot of ways, not just for the restaurant, but in life, because, you know, he tried to play up Bobby for Connie. And, you know, when he felt that Bobby's heart was broken, you know, he was there for Bobby. So I really like him. I wanted to like Brian Robertson. It's not that I don't like him, but I don't think they really used him this season all that much. So it was hard for me to really get a read on him or have an opinion on him. He was just kind of there.
Oh, I love Brian Robertson. I feel like he was used just enough. Like, because he comes back to the alley. What is it? Episode 1? He's just kind of hanging out there with them again because he comes back. And my fear was, oh, he's going to be here all the time, but he doesn't live. I don't know how I feel about outsiders coming to the street, like, who don't live on the street coming to the alley, because it just feels like, yeah, I don't know why you need to be there. So I was like, oh, is he gonna change the dynamic of the four? And then, like you said, he shows up here and there, sprinkled throughout the episodes. I loved him so much in the Super Newsome Polls, like, anniversary episode where he's the band, and then they change the songs.
Yeah, I will give you that, but while he didn't have a lot of roles in the season, he was a lot of the humor of the season. So, like, him doing the hybrid, like, R&B Laotian music in the first episode when Bill finally comes out of the house wearing just the large t-shirt, and he's like, you know, he's butt naked under there. So he had a lot of the fun lines in the series. So I will give you that. He had a fun lines. I just don't feel like he was used well enough. Like, I would have actually liked him, maybe not for every episode, but I would have liked him to have been a normal stay with the guys on the alley drinking beer.
I will say this, though. I do applaud the writers or the showrunner of the show to be like, okay, we don't know how to use Brian Robertson a lot, so we're not going to just force him into, like, everything. I think like, it shows a little restraint, because I could feel like they wanted to add another person to the gang, and it just made sense. But I would love to see him move into the neighborhood, and, like, you know, he doesn't have to be there the whole time, because, like, Khan lives next door, and Khan's not out there all the time either.
Fair.
So it would just be nice to see Brian Robertson pop in a little bit more. I feel like I'm not on Reddit, though, so I don't know if he was well-received or not. I'm hoping he was, because I love the character. And that, I hope he's so well-received that maybe I could use a Brian Robertson B storyline for next season.
Yeah, I think I would like to see more of him next season, just more character development, him hanging out. I would like to see more Emilio. You know, I think now, you know, we could have a little time to just talk, and I don't have a lot to talk about on this one, but things we did not like in the season. For me, the biggest thing I didn't like,
I wonder if it's the same thing.
Yeah, the biggest thing I didn't like was the Ronnie Chang as Khan.
It is the same. Oh man, I was like, that is the big. I feel like during that episode we, like, talked about so much. That is the, I don't know. I think that is worse than the whole first episode. The first episode I can at least watch through. What is your solution for it, though? Do we recast or?
Recast, absolutely. Either tell Ronnie Chang to try harder on the voice. Like, I get it. Maybe you can't make him sound the exact same way that Toby Huss did, but at least try. One thing I always compare it to is Cleveland Brown. So they got rid of the original voice actor for Cleveland Brown because they wanted to have an actual black person voice a black character. And they found a guy who sounds almost exactly like Cleveland Brown. But you wouldn't know the voice actor changed because he sounds just like him. I have a hard time believing that there isn't an Asian voice actor out there who can do a good Khan.
This is true. I mean, there's got to be someone out there who can. Like I said during the episode, it just sounds like Ronnie's doing a bad impression of Khan. Like, he can't do a good impression of it. It's just, it's not coming out right. I almost wish they would have just changed it and been like, Ronnie, just do whatever voice, do your own voice. And we're just like, this is how Khan sounds now. I don't know. Have you ever seen the show Solar Opposites on Hulu?
I'm aware of it. I've never seen it. I've like seen it. I guess it's on Hulu or whatever. I've seen it popped up.
So I don't know if you remember that whole Rick and Morty scandal where they had to fire the voice actor.
I did not, but let's say I did.
But he also did all the voices for Solar Opposites. So when they let him go, they just like, well, we don't have him anymore. So they recast someone else and it's a completely different voice. And basically they're like, this is just the voice now. It's animated. This is just how the voice sounds now, guys. It's not the same person. We're not even going to try. I feel like if we had done that with Khan, I would have been like, okay, it would have been you would have been shocked in the first time hearing it. But then after that, you'd be like, okay, this is just the voice now. Instead of kind of giving us this like half-hearted attempt at doing Khan's voice, it just, rewatching it, it just doesn't punch as hard, in my opinion. Like everything feels muted in a sense. And I don't know. I'm just not getting like the punches in there of the diction of Khan's voice when Ronnie does it. It, I don't know. It just feels like Khan light when we could have full Khan.
Yeah, I understand that. I mean, I guess, I don't know. Like to me, it felt like he wasn't even trying, to be honest, because it didn't really sound like Khan at all. Like it just sounded like Ronnie Chang was just doing a voice.
I feel like I still got, well, I mean, I wonder if it's just how the jokes are written.
Maybe.
Because, you know, there's a certain like way Khan talks. And I wonder if the jokes are broken down like that.
Fair.
It's so shocking. It's too shocking. And it's a full episode. And it's like the first time we see Khan. It is the first time we see Khan again, because we see Min earlier.
Yeah.
And I don't think we're really introduced to Khan until this full episode of him. Maybe if they weaned us in, I don't know, but it just, it wasn't hitting for me. And it was just Khan is such a fun part of the show.
Mm-hmm.
That for it not to land is just, it's just sad, because the jokes are there. I think all the jokes felt like, oh, these are Khan jokes. They would have landed normally.
Well, they only used him for one episode. Like, of the granted, there's only 10 episodes in the season, but he only appeared in one episode of the 10 in the season. And yeah, he is typically a major character.
Do you think it's because they couldn't pay Ronnie?
Maybe. I don't know. I honestly have no idea what the theory is or why they did it that way.
And on another note, is this it for him, though? Like, the cat's out of the bag. They're separated. Khan was packing up his stuff. Do we just not see Khan anymore? Maybe, like, a random episode with him visiting Connie? But, like, are we kind of just done with Khan?
I don't know. I hope not. I hope that they find ways to use him more. Maybe he gets another house in the neighborhood or moves into an apartment or is Bill's roommate or something. There are ways they could keep him in the show.
Yeah, that also was one of my most disappointing moments in the show. I mean,
yeah.
I guess the other moment that I really didn't like was just like the first episode was off. It wasn't a great start. It hid the goodness, I guess, you know. If this season was an orange, like the first episode's that peel. And once you get through it, you're like, ah, the goodness of the orange, all the great episodes inside. That's kind of how it felt to me. So I'm really glad I'm a King of the Hill fan. And I'm glad we're doing this podcast together, because if I wasn't, I don't know if I would have continued watching after that first episode.
Yeah, that first episode, to me, I that was probably the only other low point in the season. The first episode wasn't great, but I'm glad, in a sense, I'm glad they did it the way they did it, because they just got all the exposition done in one episode, and then they could go on with the rest of the season just feeling like King of the Hill, rather than like dragging the exposition out through multiple, you know, episodes to try to explain, oh, why were they gone, and kind of the fish out of water thing for Hank and Peggy coming back after being gone and stuff like that. Like, if they dragged that out for the whole season, that would have been pretty annoying and boring. So I'm actually kind of happy that it worked the way it did, but I also didn't think it was a good episode because it was just a giant exposition dump. But at least it was just one bad episode. And honestly, it wasn't even that bad of an episode. It was a bad episode for a King of the Hill episode, but when you compare it to a lot of the stuff on TV, it wasn't really a bad episode.
Yeah, My only problem with that episode, I personally just thought it was too many timely jokes, too many jokes about how the world has changed from then to this time. I wish it was more like the season was, where the jokes are like sprinkled here and there throughout the entire season of like, oh, this is how it's different from back then. And I know they wanted to get as much as they can in. And I don't know if we talked about it on the podcast or if it was just us talking about it personally. Episode one just feels like the pitch to get King of the Hill revival going. It feels like this is all the ideas we have, and this is how the show is going to be. This is the selling point of the show. And then the studio was like, oh, we like that. And they're like, okay, well, we got to do this first episode, and then we can like, kind of stretch out our story throughout the nine, and that how it is. So am I saying the first episode is unwatchable? No, it's completely watchable. It's still, everyone still feels the same. Hank, Peggy, Bobby, they all feel like the characters we know. And like, especially Bill, you're like, oh, that totally is what happened to Bill. And what was it? It does have one of my favorite, was it like when you finish all of Netflix or something like that?
Mm-hmm.
They call like,
yeah, you get a wellness check.
Yeah, you get a wellness check. I mean, there's so great moments in it. So it's hard to be like, that was the worst episode. It was my least. Okay, yes, I do say it's the worst episode of the season. And I'm going to strike that now. It's my least favorite episode of the season. It doesn't deserve worst episode being thrust upon it. It's just, it's a lot. It's my least favorite of the season, like I said again. But the season's so good. It has so much great stuff in it. So one low point and everything else is worth taking from me.
Yeah. And honestly, it isn't even the worst episode of King of the Hill.
Oh, yeah.
There are way worse episodes of the 14 seasons, like Mrs. Wakefield comes to mind. I wouldn't say it was the worst episode of King of the Hill because it's not true. It just wasn't the best episode of the season, and it wasn't a great King of the Hill episode, but it wasn't really a bad episode either.
Yeah, just a low point in this season.
Yeah, but every other episode hit really well. I'm kind of on the same page as you about episode 10, Sounder Investment. It just felt weird to me. It almost felt like Mike Judge was trying to, you know, he had like some unused Silicon Valley plot that he wanted to put into King of the Hill. And that's kind of what that episode felt like to me. But other than that, the season was overall great. Like, my biggest complaint would be that there was only 10 episodes. Like, come on. I guess maybe Hulu was on the fence about whether or not it would be a hit. So I was like, okay, we'll just order 10 episodes. And then if it does well, we'll see what we do now. But you know, my hope is that they see how well it did. And so they're like, okay, not only are we giving you a season 15, but there's going to be 20 episodes to it.
Oh yeah. 10 is very short. And especially for like, what I'm looking at it now, 22 minute episodes. Mm-hmm. And this is very, very not, it's not enough. Yeah. Yeah. But there, oh man, there is so many good episodes. I'm fine with 10 episodes a season. If we can get seasons back to back, like if I'm going to get a season 15 next year, then okay. I'm okay with 10 episodes. But if I have to wait till 2027 for season 15, then I would love if seasons were 20, 22 episodes long, 24 episodes long. Like, yeah. I know it's kind of unheard of anymore in this day and age of like streaming to have really long seasons, but really long seasons were good back in the, like when we watch Friends and all those shows, 20 episode seasons is perfect. Take the mid-season break and which, you know, we have stuff to watch.
Yeah. I honestly don't understand why it takes 2-3 years to make another season of a cartoon. Admittedly, I have no idea what the development process is behind the scenes. But, you know, when we were younger, heck, when King of the Hill was on air, every year they had a new season full of episodes. So if they could do it with the technology then, I imagine it's at least as easy, if not easier, to generate new episodes or new content, new assets over, you know, the course of a year. So I don't understand why nowadays it can't be a technical challenge. It must be a business challenge or a funding challenge. I don't know.
Yeah, I want more episodes, but if the quality can't be there, I don't want you to stretch to give me 20 and me get some stinkers in there. Fair. So it's a double-edged. Like you were saying, I wish we could get these back to back. If you can give me season 15 next year, then yeah, I'm fine with it. We can watch 10, like have me do 10 episodes. Though, again, with them dropping all at once, I am missing like a Halloween episode or Christmas, some kind of holiday episode. I wish we could get like The Hill Is at Christmas Time again or The Hill Is at Halloween again. There's something along those lines.
You know, honestly, I did not think about it until you just mentioned it. Yeah, this season did not have a single holiday episode of any kind, whether it be Christmas or New Year's or 4th of July or anything like that. You know, it didn't have any of those episodes. It just was weird for King of the Hill. Like I would have to go back and look at it, but I think every season has at least one holiday related episode.
Yeah. They do Christmas and Halloween a lot. So it's strange. And I understand, like, I don't know. What would you prefer? It week to week? Or did you like it dropping all at once?
I think I would have liked week to week. One, it would have helped with the podcast. But also, I don't know. Just so I'm on the fence. Quite frankly, I'm on the fence about it because I do like binging. So I do like when, you know, streaming shows dump everything on and you can just sit and binge it all at once. But also I grew up watching, you know, appointment TV. You had to watch it at, you know, Tuesday at 7 or whatever it was to get it. And, you know, so I'm fine with the weekly drops too. And it gives you something to look forward to, you know?
Yeah. I just feel like when you drop it all at once, maybe that was the reason we didn't get any holiday episodes because we didn't really follow around. But I also don't care if it's July and the hills are celebrating Christmas. You know, I think we can all disbelief that, like, the year is flowing at a different time than ours in their world. I guess that's my only hope for next season. Like, well, I got a lot of hopes for next season, but one of them is I would love a Halloween special. I always love King of the Hill Halloween episodes.
Yeah, I do too. The Christmas ones are always fun. The Halloween ones have been fun, especially the one with Junie Parker, and we're kind of approaching the Halloween season. But yeah, I agree. So my opinion is that Hulu probably wanted to play it safe. They didn't know how popular this would be. So they did a small, if you will, order of episodes just to kind of test the water and see how it goes. And if things went well, then they would say, okay, yeah, let's order more. Clearly people, even 15 years later, really want King of the Hill. So let's give them a full 20 episode season.
Yeah. Yeah. I hope we get more, at least 15 episodes next season.
Yeah, I agree. I think that's all I have for today. We will talk a little bit more and we are looking at getting a guest. I don't want to spoil anything, but we'll have a special guest next week. So yeah, please listen into that because we will have some amazing discussions about the future of King of the Hill and King of the Hill in general. Till then, I am Jason.
And I'm Jimmy.
Bye.
Bye.